Scattered around here, you'll see pieces of calcite crystal. And you can see the finish.
Oh, wow. Yeah, on this bit.
This piece right here, but this isn't necessarily the interesting part.
Yeah.
This piece here.
Where you've got the channel.
So, in the evaluation of components across the pyramid sites, we have conduits or channels that are specifically for the movement of fluids. They're usually deeper channels, because the deeper the channel, the less likely it is to clog with material. This channel is extremely shallow and would not be suitable for fluid movement or distribution throughout the complex. So what was it for? My hypothesis on this is that it's a housing for a copper, basically a wire. That this channel, this housing, would have had a piece of metal that ran through it. And that is the reason that this system has been disassembled. I'll show you pieces of this calcite conduit system. So, also another important thing, this was under the paving stones. It was hidden. You would have never seen this component when the temple was in its original state.
Right.
So why, again, feel that. Why would you go through all of the effort to polish it?
Oh my
that
gosh.
It's crazy.
I mean,
right?
It is like marble top.
It's
like,
wild.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a lot of effort for something you're never going to see.
A lot of effort for something that was buried
right.
under. So these are the paving stones.
This yeah.
is the floor.
Yeah. And then this
so
is
this
situated underneath the floor.
Underneath. So again, you have to think about logistics, right? So if your pipe clogs, how are you going to unclog that pipe if it's buried underneath the floor of the temple?
Right.
It'd be a very difficult unnecessary undertaking. And I'll show you a comparison between the size and dimensions of this channel, which to me don't indicate fluid distribution, but rather housing for a physical component. Could be a metal bar that was housed in there.
And do you think the copper wiring kind of ties into the potential acoustic like resonance nature of the temple sites or
so
as a functionality?
We have seen evidence, even written evidence in the Grand Egyptian Museum that describes these temples as laboratories.
Right.
They are for processing, measuring, quality control, and other additional processes that are related to the chemical manufacturing that was occurring inside of the pyramid structure. So you have your manufacturing facility, and then your processing. We have the same thing in modern industrial scale chemical facilities where you have a QA lab where they take samples, they do other additional mixing, etc.
Right.
So this is a small scale laboratory, and it's literally written at the Egyptian Museum. They have a case full of laboratory glassware. It looks like beakers and distillation columns and flasks and all this stuff.
We might have missed that.
And there's
when we
a plaque. Oh, dude, it's the most obscure case in the entire museum. It's hidden in the back corner.
Just tucked away.
But it has a plaque that says the temples were laboratories.
So I'm going to cut in real quick just to highlight some important points that further validate the idea that acoustics and naturally occurring electrical harvesting may have played a role at this complex in Saqqara. What we're looking at here, these highly polished alabaster blocks with precise conduit-like channels, these were not sitting out in the open. They were positioned beneath multi-ton limestone paving stones in areas immediately adjacent to the UNAS pyramid. Once they were installed, they were completely hidden from view and essentially inaccessible, which means they were never intended for regular maintenance. That alone suggests a long-term, deliberate purpose, possibly symbolic, possibly energetic. Now, the UNAS Pyramid Complex is already unique for its integrated acoustic engineering. You've got dense rose granite, resonant white limestone, and geometrically tuned passageways that naturally amplify and focus sound, both in the audible and in the low-frequency range. Acoustic studies have confirmed that this is not coincidence. The architecture itself is an instrument. And here's where it gets interesting. If we look at the president from the Sahur complex at Abbasiyah, excavated in the early 1900s, we know that architects were clearly embedding copper conduits into channels beneath the floors. In Sahur's case, those ran for hundreds of meters. And so there is already documented fact of concealed engineered conduits that were part of the architectural toolkit. Now, if we swap out Sahur's limestone channels for polished alabaster blocks, we have something entirely different in character. From a material science standpoint, alabaster or calcite is a non-conductive dielectric. It makes an excellent insulator, protecting a copper conductor from corrosion and even shaping the electric field around it. Copper itself, of course, is one of the best conductors of low-frequency currents, whether from telluric flows in the ground or induced environmental electromagnetism. So if you encase that in alabaster, you've got a guided transmission line, possibly part of a larger network. And here's the synergy. Alabaster also transmits vibration extremely well. In the Yunas pyramid complex, any sound, chanting, drumming, even low resonances, would pass through the limestone floors, into the alabaster below, and from there into any copper within it. And that vibration could create small electrical fluctuations in the copper, a microphonic effect. It's exactly the principle used in certain types of sensors and microphones today.
And even at the temple of Hathor in Dendara, there is a specific alcove of that temple that even according to the conventional nomenclature is described as the laboratory of the temple.
Wow.
So they were using the copper wire and the distribution of electric current from lightning for processes and also related to telluric currents, which gives you a more steady, lower voltage current flow. They were harnessing that electricity for alchemical processes within these laboratories. So we're going to follow this channel that stops right there.
Oh, and here it is.
Through another piece here.
Yep.
So this thing ran throughout the entire temple complex, connecting different components of the structure. Unfortunately, we'll never know the original configuration of the entire network because all the pieces are gone.
Yep.
And they disassembled this to pop the metal out.
There's another piece over there by the looks of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So so these are limestone. In the floor of the temple, we'll walk back to the boat pit so mm-hmm. we can jump in the boat pits and take a look at that.
But what about this rose granite over here? Is that another channel?
Yeah, so that's my comparison piece.
Right.
So there's all sorts of... So this is a housing. Again, you remember, this is the paving. This is another part of the entrance into the temple facility where you can see a door closure. So these are hinges for doors. So there would have been a huge closure here. These laboratories were protected, secure facilities that are always guarded by huge doors. Again, same thing, comparison to our modern industrial scale facility. You can't just walk in, you know, unless you have permission and you're supposed to be there.
Exactly.
So these were guarded, secured facilities, and you always see huge doors that are securing the entrance to the temple area. So for size comparison, we see these types of channels all over the Giza Plateau. Did you see the one in the Eastern Temple of the Central Pyramid?
Yep.
It has the same dimensions. Look at the size of this one, which you could easily stick a modern PVC pipe into this.
Right.
And it would be the ideal dimensions for fluid distribution. But that one, you can stick one finger in there.
Yeah, it's just not deep enough.
It's not deep enough.
No.
This has a nice little core tubular drill here. Now, again, this is another scenario where what were these components of originally? Because they're just strewn about and we have no idea where this would have fit or where this would have fit. This is another piece of it here on this side. So you can see that this was a part of a fluid distribution system within the temple. Where the hell did these things go originally?
Right.
And we'll never know because they were most likely found like this, documented in situ by the original archaeologists, and we'll never be able to reassemble the original configuration.